Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is The Woods.
Grr.
The show made by bears for the bear community, their admirers and supporters all around Australia and the world. Brought to you from Melbourne's Joy 94.9 studios. Woof.
Grr.
Yes, you are on The Woods. It is Thursday night, of course. This is Big Bear Mark, and I'm joined in the studio tonight by cub reporter Robbie. How you going, Robbie?
Good, Mark. We started off the show with some Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga, paparazzi, and there's a reason we played paparazzi. We'll get to that in a minute. We won't
stay
give
tuned,
it away
everybody.
Just yet. And on the panel tonight, we've got Just James. Hey, James.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good tonight.
Good.
Just want to give a big shout out to the guys who ran Code Black on the weekend. You were there.
Oh, yeah.
I saw you there.
Oh, you did indeed. And I saw you for some of the time.
Some of the time, really.
No,
you shouldn't ask. I just want to say a big thank you because that was a great party.
That was an awesome party. Really, really awesome.
Where were
you, Robbie?
Yeah,
no,
where were you?
I was at home. My partner did say, let's go to Code Black a while ago. And
yeah.
I missed the boat on tickets. So I stayed at home and cried instead.
I have to admit, I missed the boat as well. So thank you very much to that gentleman who sold me his ticket.
Did you pay $150?
No, I paid the ticket price. I didn't pay the $150.
I heard there was a bit of
scalping.
Yeah, a bit of scalping. Potential scalping going on.
And, of course, Bear Kirstein's all the way in Europe at the moment.
And we're missing him.
And we're missing him. But he's looking like he's having great fun.
He's having a great time.
I saw him and his partner in front of the Trevi Fountain today, posted.
Where's that?
It's in Rome.
It's in Trevi.
I've never heard of it. Not much travelled.
You know, it's the one where you throw a penny into the fountain, and if you then you're bound to return to Rome if you throw
a penny
into the
fountain. Isn't there a song about that? Like three coins in the fountain?
Yes.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay, see, I know a little bit. I just haven't been there.
Yeah, exactly.
Next year.
And tonight we are highlighting a member of the community like we like to do from time to time.
And there's the segue connection to paparazzi. Is that what
that is? There is. This man is Dr. Noel Maloney. And he's a playwright, he's a screenwriter, he's a teacher. He currently is the program coordinator and manages the screenwriting program at RMIT.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's an A-lister then.
He's an A-lister. And he has written a play which is on at La Mama Theatre at the moment.
Wow.
Called POV Dave. Welcome, Noel.
Thanks, Mark.
You're going to say Dave, then, weren't you?
I was. You're right, I was. I had to catch myself because it was like, I just said POV Dave, yes. Noel, a long career in screenwriting and theatre and TV as well. Mm-hmm. I might take you back first. I mean, you actually wrote for Neighbours and Blue Heelers in the 80s, was it?
No, not that far back.
90s?
Neighbours was late 90s, early noughties.
Yep.
And I wrote one Blue Heelers episode.
Yep.
So I hope it wasn't the episode when Maggie got shot, because if you're responsible for that, I'm very upset.
Oh, dear.
I wish it was.
That would be something for the resume, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
Killing off the characters, Robbie. Is that a good thing for a playwright to do?
Well, kill your darling. Isn't that definitely George R. R. Martin loves to kill off the favourite characters as well. And you also acted in Prisoner.
Which
I thought that's amazing.
You've been doing your research.
I did.
As long as you don't have that photograph of me.
They don't call him G. Norton for nothing, you know.
No. Look, I was actually very impressed that you... Now, were you a prison guard?
I was Virginia Hayes' lawyer.
Oh!
Yeah. Well, you've got a look up of a lawyer to you as well. I could see that in a suit.
Oh, okay.
Deep breath.
Yeah, but I didn't get her out.
You failed as a TV lawyer.
We obviously didn't write that episode.
So how was it back in the 90s, writing for a show like Neighbours? What was the process? How did you get into that?
I started off as what they had back then, a storyliner. They had four in-house storyliners. This was in the late 90s. I think I started in 1999. And I worked as a storyliner for 2 years. And what that meant was sitting around a table and generating the stories week by week. And then after that, I worked in-house for a couple of years as a script editor.
Right. And so that coming up with ideas for... So did you come up with, like, storyline ideas? Is that what it was?
That was the job, yeah.
That was the job.
We had to, yeah.
So
yeah.
You were what were some of the storylines that you were responsible for? Come on.
Gosh, you put me on the spot. I can't remember. There were so many. There were millions.
Yeah, that's
it. We were little story machines, you know.
Yeah, I bet.
So
yeah.
Churning stories out on a daily basis.
So is the process that you do sit around in a room and throw ideas up and... How does the process work when you're doing a show like that?
Well, it's a good question because we were very lucky. We had a really good team of people. We were all very different. And the head of the table is someone called a story editor.
Yep.
So they're like the story marshal. They're like the gatekeeper of the story world, what gets in, what doesn't get in, so forth. And there was a period there where it was just terrific because we would work each other's strengths around the table, you know. So you would see these stories like little kind of mini cyclones kind of whizzing around the table as each person would kind of add something and build it up. It was lovely. Yeah. It was a lovely way to, you know, to generate story content.
And could you get, with a show like Neighbours, could you get rather outrageous and just... really go out there on a limb with some?
Oh, gosh, no, not back then.
No, not back then. You hadn't jumped the shark yet.
No, I hadn't jumped the shark.
Well, that's not surprising. I mean, it was only a few years ago that there was a girl-girl kiss on Neighbours, and that was... That caused all sorts of controversy, yeah, so I'm sure in the 90s they weren't open to...
If that's the storyline I'm thinking of, that was actually a really nice lesbian storyline.
It was, yeah.
But back when we were doing it, no, we couldn't get anything like that happening. We really wanted to. It was hard. But then there was a change of guard in the mid-noughties and things kind of, you know, yeah, they...
became a bit more progressive.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know if you watch the show at all, but do you see that and feel disappointed that they've gone there? Or do you just think, you know, they should have just left it in the 90s and not restarted the show and...
Oh no! I think right. You know. In some ways, you know, they're doing stuff that's a lot more interesting. But I also think that you know, they're doing 6 shows a week now, and it's a big load of television to churn out. So yeah, that's a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, it definitely would be. And so, how did you make the? Now, did you do the acting first or the writing first?
I did the acting first. I went to Flinders University, to the Drama Centre at Flinders University.
All right.
And I worked in a theatre company in Adelaide called Troupe.
Yeah.
And then came to Melbourne and did a few little bits and pieces, including Prisoner.
Including Prisoner, yeah. Did you do theatre as well?
I did some theatre in Melbourne. And then I wanted to do something completely different. So I set up a production company for myself, producing educational and training television.
All right.
And then I ran that for about 6-7 years, and then I decided to start writing for television and went knocking on doors and knocked on the neighbour's door.
And they opened it for you?
Not immediately.
No.
I did a tryout and then, you know, thank you very much. We'll see you later. And off I went up Park Street, South Melbourne, disappeared for I think about 6 months. And it was Cup Day that I got a phone call from the script producer. She rang me up and she said, you know, yeah, like what you wrote.
So what's involved in the tryout?
What did we do? I had to sit in on a story conference. You know, I was talking about storyliners sitting around a table, and I had to sit there and I had to, you know, well, I didn't have to, but I was free to contribute ideas, and then I had to write up what's called a scene breakdown or a section of a scene breakdown, which is a scene-by-scene description of what happens. that they then sent out to the scriptwriters. And yeah, that was what I had to do for the triad.
Right. Mm. Excellent. We are talking to Dr. Noel Maloney, who is a scriptwriter. We'll be coming back. When we come back, we'll be talking about his time at RMIT and the brand new play that's on right now at La Mama Theatre, POV Dave. You are on the woods on Joy 94.9.
For all things bear, cub, otter or wolf and any other woodland creature, the woods on Joy 94.9.
This is Big Bear Mark. I'm joined by cub reporter Robbie and Just James.
Hello.
And, of course, Dr. Noel Maloney, who is the program coordinator for RMIT, Media and Communications, and also has POV Dave, a play at La Mama Theatre at the moment. I want to find out, what does a program coordinator at RMIT do for the media, was it media and communications department?
Oh, many things. It's a challenging job in a way. I mean, you're looking after your students, you're looking after teachers, you're looking after the admin staff, the reporting staff that needs to happen. You're making sure that the curriculum is in place as it should be, that assessment is written up as the way it needs to be. So, yeah, a few things.
Because, yes, Gina, who was on Family Matters, of course, was one of your students.
She was.
How did she go? Was she okay?
She was lovely. She was lovely. I'm still waiting for that assessment, Gina.
Yeah, you hear that, Gina? All right.
He's been dying to get that line in ever since he found out Gina was in there.
So you teach as well?
I do.
So it's screenwriting you teach? Is
it? I do. I teach. We have a subject called storytelling in the program. And the idea is it gives students a chance to write stories without thinking about how they should or shouldn't be on the screen. It's a way of kind of freeing people's imagination up. And I love that subject. And so that's one of the subjects I teach. And the other one I teach is writing an episode of a TV script.
Oh, cool.
And that's what we're doing at the moment.
So when one of your students or yourself is writing a TV script, are there rules? Is there things that you should or shouldn't do? For example, I'll just give you a quick quote because I saw this thing by Alan Sorkin today and I probably haven't got it exactly correct, but he said, when you're writing something, make sure you tell us something new and something that the audience doesn't know. And I thought that was a really good point.
It's a good rule.
Especially something like playwriting.
Yeah.
So is there rules that you abide by?
There are rules, and then there are we teach rules, and we also teach people to be really imaginative and creative and to challenge them and to provoke them as well, because you can let rules kind of contain you and kind of stifle you a bit. So we do both those things. And I guess there are two sets of rules. There are kind of storytelling rules that have been around forever, some of which, you just quoted there. And then I guess there are also some things that are expected of screenwriters when they go on various shows. Each show has got its own kind of genres and, ways of doing things. So there's, those two ways of kind of thinking about rules. But we also kind of encourage our students to free up and
use
just
their imagination.
Flow.
Is there a TV show that you would love to write for?
A whole series of shows just flashed before my eyes.
Too many.
I tell you, Happy Valley. Happy Valley blew me away. Did you see series one of Happy Valley?
I haven't.
BBC TV series.
I'll have to look out for
Mark
it.
And I quickly scrolling down Happy Valley.
Happy Valley.
Big TV
check
fans in here.
Check it out. And I think series two is about to come on. And it's about a detective who has to deal with a criminal case in Yorkshire somewhere, I think it's set. And it's fantastic.
Yeah.
The characters are just beautifully written. I might have read
something about it. I didn't.
Lovely stuff.
Do you find it hard watching a television series and knowing the cogs and things behind it to really relax into a show without, dissecting the
picking
bits?
Picking it to pieces.
Yeah.
what just occurred to me there was Robert is a Game of Thrones fan, and I'm not.
Because it's poorly written? It's not that it's poorly written.
I find it very soapy and very predictable in some ways. And so he has to wear the headphones when he watches it.
Oh, I love Game of Thrones.
I know. I was going to tread on some tender territory here.
Guaranteed to, based on the number of people I know that can't stop talking about
it. God, I probably just alienated half of the, I think everybody, the QTI community.
Sound of everyone switching their radio off.
One question I have for you, Noel, is like whenever I've thought about the industry, the entertainment industry as such, I'd imagine that it's really competitive. Is it really hard to get into? Do people fight for places? How does it go?
It's very hard to get into, and it's increasingly hard to get into. And the reasons why, when I went into Neighbours, into that story team, that was one of the few opportunities round then that people could enter into the industry. And now, of course, they don't run a story team in the same way.
Right.
So that opportunity's gone. And the other trend that's happening in television is short form. So you're getting a TV series that run, you know, for 5-8 episodes rather than continually rolling on like Blue Heelers. And Blue Heelers was another show
and
that
Lost
offered people.
And those kinds of
things.
Yeah, that go
that's
on
right.
Never,
so,
never, never.
So the whole nature of television is changing. But on the other hand, there's all this stuff around that kids can just pick up and start using to make things.
Yeah.
So you're getting this proliferation of webisode series, and some of the stuff out there is mind blowing.
It's really,
really
good.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what sort of qualifications would someone need, like in terms of getting into programs like the one you run, what kind of qualifications do people need to get in?
VCE is minimum.
Yep.
We take a whole range of people. We take people straight out of year 12.
Mm-hmm.
We take people who have maybe completed a degree and want to come back and focus on something more specialised.
Mm-hmm.
We take people, we've got students 40s, 50s, early 60s who want to, you know, try something completely different. And that's one of the strengths of the program. We've got this really nice range of people.
So what makes someone stand out? Like, I guess you'd have a whole heap of people with similar level qualifications. What would you need to do to get the attention of people making choices?
Do you mean getting into the program or getting into the industry?
Well, initially I'm thinking getting into the program, but we'll go on to the industry.
Okay.
Because I've got plans for my future career, of course.
Okay.
You're not the only one.
This is a leading question. We ask for a 2,000-word portfolio of creative writing, and that can be anything. You know, we don't limit it to script writing. It can be poetry, fiction, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we ask for a short statement about how people think the program is going to benefit them, and then we do an interview on top of that.
Can you give us an example, like, without giving anything away or naming anyone, can you, like, something that really caught your attention and grabbed your eye? Or is that putting you on the spot?
Every question you've asked, I suppose, will be on the spot, but that's all right.
Stimulating those grey cells. You've been working those a lot lately. I know you have.
I'm just thinking back through all the submissions that we get. There's just such a wonderful range of stuff that people will submit. You know, there are a whole range of short stories that come to mind that people have submitted, short film scripts.
Yep.
And what people also do is they actually submit short films now too.
Right, right.
That's increasingly popping up in, you know, people's portfolios.
Well, yeah, as you said, it's more and more easy to do these days with the proliferation of software and filmmaking gear becoming cheaper as well.
So. People are filming things on their phones that we could only have dreamed about 10 years ago. So.
They even have competitions now where you've got to film everything just on your phone.
That's right.
Which is just amazing.
Yeah.
Do you ever see some ideas and you go, wow, I wish I'd thought of that? That's going to make money or...
Happy Valley.
Happy Valley, yeah.
Exactly. All sorts of things, you know. I think there's some fantastic television out there at the moment. I'm a fan of Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad
blew me away. I think it was a real groundbreaking TV series, Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
In the characters that it created and the stories that it told.
Mm. Yeah, it was really an epic different point of view. Referencing the play a little bit, but you wouldn't have seen otherwise, which is what I think, and as that does make good television, something you haven't seen before, something that is unique.
That's right, and that character of Walter White, who you're left wondering why he's doing it for several series, and then you find out that it wasn't just because he wanted to make money for his family.
Mm.
But because he had some old scores to settle in his life, and he had to feel better about himself.
Mm.
Yeah.
Great character. Right.
Yeah. One I've seen recently and I really liked, and unfortunately it had massive holes in it, but Strange Things. Have you seen Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Stranger Things?
Amazing series.
Tell me about
that. It was a brilliant series, and it's kind of a bit sci-fi, a bit kind of alternative.
It's a bit dark. It actually references a lot of 80s and 90s films. So it parallels some scenes from like E.T. and Stand By Me and The Goonies. And It is really referential.
And I was a little bit nervous because I'm not a lover of horror. And I'm not, the more gratuitous that violence gets, the less interested in it I am. So watching this was a nerve-wracking experience for me. But I got hooked by the end of the first episode.
Yeah.
And I really, really enjoyed it. But there were massive holes in the writing. There were things completely unexplained that should have been explained.
Like Winona Ryder. But
She was okay in it.
She was okay.
Winona alone.
I thought she played Loser, No Hope, and Mother really well.
Yeah, she did.
She's a great work in progress, Winona.
it was really good. There's a lot about the TV industry and actually writing for the TV industry. With your students, do you see a success rate at all with people who go on to be in the industry, or is that a limited thing these days?
No, our graduates do well, but they do well after a time. It does take time for our graduates to establish themselves. One of our graduates was saying that he has this theory that it takes at least 5 years. Mm. And it could actually be right. You know?
You're right.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
What do you think makes somebody really successful as a screenwriter?
I think it's three things. I think it's knowing how to work in the industry and what the expectations are and how to kind of play all the games that the industry kind of throws at you.
Yeah.
That's
three things right there.
Yeah, that's three things right there. No, they were the sub three things of one thing.
That's one thing.
I think it's also about, you know, you really do dedicate yourself to kind of working your craft, your writing craft, and I think that there's a third thing, which is about kind of being really faithful to a project that you want to develop. And we see this a lot in our students that succeed. They pursue that project and they stay faithful to it. It's like a partner to them.
And like passion.
And they nurture the relationship between them and that project. And then they also go out and find someone to work with for some period to kind of develop it.
There was a
graduate of ours who came back and talked to our students recently. She's 4 years out of the program, and she's got three significant projects in various stages of development. And that was really her story, you know, that she had stayed faithful to these projects.
Mm.
And that's what really, you know, creates success, I think.
It's about passion, isn't it?
You just reminded me of a friend of the program, John Richards, who did Outland on ABC.
And he came to talk to our students a couple of years ago.
We had him in here, and it's a really interesting story about how that program got made and how it did take. They did two little shorts leading up to it. It was very involved process for that to happen. And now they've, like, John has actually gone into producing radio plays and sells radio plays, like a series called Night Terrors. And which is quite good as well.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's a very interesting topic. Now, if you want to join in the conversation, please do so. If you've got a question for Noel, you can SMS us 0427JOY949. You can give us an email on onair@joy.org.au and we'll pose your questions to Noel coming up. You're on The Woods on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Matt Albert from San Francisco. Well, then you can find a way to make it out here too. You're listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. And if I can make it to
the middle of this tightrope. Shouldn't sing that.
No, we were singing in the middle of that. This is Big Bear Mark joining the studio by Cub reporter Robbie Just James and Dr. Noel Maloney.
Dr. Noel Maloney.
Well, that's your title. It is. We should explain the song we played. because the song we played by is by an artist by the name of Bailey Wiley. And Noel, I think I'm going to let you explain who she is.
Oh, Bailey's a fantastic jazz hip-hop singer in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And she's also in a relationship with my partner's son.
Oh, nepotism.
It's a little bit of nepotism.
Look, I have to admit...
Bailey rocks. She's wonderful.
Yeah, and you play her songs before the show.
We played her music before the show. Yeah. And La Mama has this tradition of a door prize.
Yeah.
Every show, a number's drawn out of a hat.
Oh, wow.
And the prize is a download of her album.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, well, I listened to quite a few of her songs before the show, and she's really good, I have to say. We're going to play another one of her songs a little later.
And can I just comment? We've just had a message from Robert. Great, you're playing my daughter-in-law's track.
We've also had a message in through 0427Joy949. Mystery listener says, I caught POV Dave last week and thoroughly enjoyed it. Well done, Noel.
That's not signed by Noel.
Well done, common Noel.
Yeah. I actually recognise that number, Noel.
Look, I did want to quickly talk to wrap up the your job about the your work about the program coordinator. Just in terms of graduates, has some of the graduates gone on to do wild and amazing stuff?
A lot of our graduates have gone on to do wild and amazing stuff. But I guess some of the more prominent people include Graeme Simsion, whose novel The Rosie Project, and two subsequent Rosie novels after that are now out. And Graham's novel started life in our program as a story, and then he turned it into a screenplay, and then he came back and studied novel at RMIT and turned it into a novel. Another graduate of ours who's kicking some goals is Sarah Dollard. She's writing for Doctor Who.
Wow.
She's doing great.
That's an amazing achievement.
It's a wonderful achievement. And before that, she produced a TV series for Welsh TV.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, about a village with too many women.
Actually, that sounds familiar.
Isn't that what the Laird's based on?
Anyway.
Moving along.
Someone should do a TV series based in the Laird.
I know, they should.
Where is that TV series?
All of a sudden, we all started squirming just for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it could be called, Squirm.
No. See, these are how ideas happen.
We're feeding this man. These ideas are going to come out as TV shows in the distant future.
I'm slotting them away.
We can base it what happened at Code Black the other night.
Slotting them away. Yeah.
Can we?
Noel wasn't even there.
Can we touch?
I
on
was
that?
In spirit.
Can we touch on that, Noel? Like as a playwright, you know, I don't want to say where do your ideas come from, because I'm sure that's a bit of a cliche. But what's the process of coming up with an idea and getting that down on paper?
Yeah, you just said where'd your ideas come from?
Yeah.
It's a good question. With this play, Point of View Dave, that started back in 2011, 2010, and the idea that started the play is not really in the play so much anymore, but it kind of is. You might remember the then New South Wales Minister for Transport, David Campbell.
Yes.
And he was outed by a Channel 7 journalist publicly, coming out of
Ken's Karate Club
in Sydney. And it was very damaging for him and his family. And I found that incredibly upsetting, and I think it was also around about the time that the lid was blown on the phone tapping stuff that was happening in the UK as well with the Murdoch Press.
Yep. News of the world, yeah.
And I started to wonder about who are these people on the other side of the camera that actually do this stuff? Why do they do it? So that got me thinking about writing a play, and that's really what Point of View Dave is about. It's about a paparazzi photographer some events that kind of make him question, you know, why he's doing what he's doing.
Exactly.
Because they got a lot of... I mean, being a gay man and a big fan of Diana's, they got a lot of really bad press, didn't they, when... It's been really questionable ever since. I think that was, for me, that was a significant event that made me realise. I don't think I'd ever seen anything on TV about the paparazzi and the kinds of money that they're actually commanding for those pictures.
Huge fees.
There's no wonder they're ethical, their principles, the whole thing starts to roll around in your head. And I know I started asking questions about, you know, I know it's kind of crappy to say this, but the magazines that, you know, that buy those photographs of people in delicate situations, we perpetuate this idea that, you know, we feed that. We actually feed that awful greed.
And yeah. that's one of the questions the play asks.
Where does
why?
It? Yeah, yeah.
Why
yeah.
do we do that?
Yeah, and where does that moral compass or moral line comes in, and how? Like, I agree with you that story about the transport minister getting shot coming out of photographed coming out of Ken's Karate Club. That raised my moral ire at the time. It was like, how can someone out someone like that? That is just disgusting. And so it's a very interesting subject matter that you've got. So how do you get put yourself in that position, and how do you come up with this story? Because I'm assuming you haven't been in that position before.
No. I haven't.
No.
Oh God, it's such a messy process writing. I shouldn't be saying that, representing the teaching of writing, but RMIT. But that
we tell it like it is.
It is. Yeah, I know. Let's get down and get honest about it. No, it's messy. It is messy, and I think it needs to be messy. I mean, it's important to have structures, and it's important to have some sort of guidelines to what you're doing. But at the same time, there's no getting away from the mess and the bits of paper floating around. The bits of paper that are kind of chucked across the room. It's all part of it.
Did you talk to people who do this? Did you talk to paparazzi people?
I didn't, but I did some research on the web, and I found there's a BBC documentary that follows around paparazzi in London. Have you seen it?
Yeah, well, that was one of the shows I saw. In fact, I think one of the people on that show was a young lad of like 17, or he was very young, and he was commanding great amounts of money, and his father was trying to...
The father and son.
The father and son. The father was trying to talk to him about what was going on and why he was doing it and what it meant. And I remember it was really moving. It was a moving show.
We don't do kids. Remember that line? We don't photograph kids. Yeah. You can't use the photographs. You've got kids in them.
Yeah, yeah.
It really struck me that even they do have some sort of moral code.
Yeah. But then you've got to wonder, when we've got the incidents like this recent one, you know, the journalist at the Olympics outing all the people on Tinder. You know, they will do anything for a story. There's a sense that journalists will, you know, that they've lost their moral compass in many ways.
And there's this interesting assumption that sits behind it all, I think, which is about point of view. We live in a world that says, you know, we all have a right to a point of view. We all have a right to free speech, as we hear over and over. And that's true. But we tend not to hear the other side of the equation, which is the importance of understanding another person's point of view.
It can be really hurtful.
That's the hard bit.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. I am interested in the process of your writing. Do you ever get writer's block? Is that a thing that happens?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So how do you deal with that?
Internet.
It's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Procrastination.
Let those fingers wander across the keys.
To inspire you? Is that the...
Just to do something. Yeah, in the hope that something else will happen.
something will trigger something. Yeah. We have had another message in from a listener that says, what is your guest's view of the quality of Luther, the UK cop show? Are you familiar? That's from Tim in Clifton Hill. Thank you, Tim.
I love it. The stuff that I could watch without a pillow in front of my eyes, I loved it. It's so suspenseful.
Sounds like it wouldn't be me.
The first episode of the first series is a program I use in my teaching because it's just so beautifully done. I mean, it's a terrific story, but the way they build suspense is incredible.
Excellent. We will be talking more about POV, Dave, and we've got more listener questions when we come back. You are on The Woods on Joy 94.9.
Catch up or relive all The Woods has to offer. Listen to The Woods podcast online at joy.org.au or on iTunes or Stitcher. Joy 94.9.
Oh, clap your hands.
Anyway.
Do you know that's going to get tired, isn't it, one day?
We've been doing it for 2 and a bit years. It's not tired yet.
Never.
Never. Big Ben Mark, Cub reporter, Robbie.
Sure.
I almost forgot that, Robbie. And Just James. And, of course, Noel Maloney, who is the writer of a play that's on at La Mama at the moment, POV
Dr.
Dave.
Noel Maloney.
The doctor got dropped this time.
Well, you made a big deal of it before, so I dropped it.
We
so,
can't drop his
doctor. We're getting casual.
He just got it.
Exactly. Look, I am interested in another process that would happen. Like, so, you know, you've done a lot of work on this play, POV Dave. Got it in your hand. How do you go from there to getting it on stage at La Mama Theatre? What's the process that you go through there?
I went looking for a director.
Ah.
And someone suggested I look up Beng O, who's worked in Melbourne Independent Theatre for a few years. And coincidentally, he had a show on at La Mama, Mein Kampf. Right. Which is not a theatricalization. Not a theatricalization of the book.
It's a musical version of Hitler's Life. Yes,
yeah,
that would be a long play.
It's this very wicked satire written by a Hungarian Jewish playwright, and it was a wonderful production. And I thought, wow, yeah, I really want to meet this guy. And so we started meeting and talking about the script, and then kind of joined the queue to get a gig at La Mama.
Yeah.
Because there's a bit of a wait, you know, because it's one of the few venues that does what it does in Melbourne.
So, yeah, because, I mean, back in the 90s, I was around the theatre scene in Sydney. Did shows at, like, Tap Gallery and for various councils, Shakespeare by the Sea and stuff. But I've never looked at the playwriting side of it, how you get that. Were you involved in the because it's the first time it's being produced, were you involved in the production of getting it on stage? Did you sit there and rewrite with the director, or did you just let the director have it?
Well, I produced it.
You produced it, yeah.
So there was sort of all the organisational stuff that I did behind it.
Yeah.
But in terms of the directing, Beng directed the show, and I was there ready to kind of, you know, consult around changes to the script where we needed it, and we made a few small changes here and there. It was a really good partnership. And I should also mention that Jane Miller, who works with Beng, dramaturg the script as well, and what that means is that she offered me some suggestions on how to kind of make some changes here and there.
Mm.
And that was really valuable. It was a terrific process.
Robbie was really keen to find out what dramaturg meant, and we got excited.
I think it's a nice, fun word.
It's a nice sounding word, isn't it?
We were excited when we thought we were going to meet a dramaturg.
I drew a real life dramaturg.
What does it mean?
It's like, I actually know what a dramaturg is. But yes, these were like, what's a dramaturg?
Yeah, you sort of get used to these words, and then you throw them out there and people can just stare blankly at them. So,
what?
What on earth are you talking about?
So what's it like when you sit there and see your words on stage? What's that feeling that you when that comes to life? And
I was going to say, it's a mixture of terror and bliss.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It's really such a buzz to...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To see your words taken over by other people and turned into something else that, you know, that I have nothing to do with. And that's the really interesting thing, that it's your writing, but then it becomes the work of other people.
Mm.
Yeah. And I know that I know a little bit about that feeling. I had a radio play he produced last year and I wrote, and I was listening to it and it's like, oh, that's interesting. They said it that way. I never imagined it said that way. Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the challenges for our screenwriting students.
Yeah.
Our screenwriting students often say we're building a lot of practical production work into our program now, so they get a chance to see, you know, what happens to a script.
Yeah.
And often they complain that they're not doing it the right way.
Mm. Yeah,
and it's very hard for them to understand.
Have to step back.
That,
yeah, once you
there's
hand
not
it,
necessarily a right way.
Yeah, and I always had the opinion once you hand a work to a director, it's their work. Then it's like they interpret it the way they want to, and that's the role of a director in a play.
Mm.
There's a lot of writer directors these days as well. And I suppose if you want your play done the way you want it, you should direct it yourself. Or would you recommend that or not?
I don't know whether I'd recommend it. I wouldn't do it myself.
Yeah.
Because I was looking forward to a creative partnership. I was looking forward to working with people, you know, someone who was going to direct and who was going to design, and that we would all kind of work together as a team and see what came up.
Exactly.
Yes, and it's been a great experience.
We'll be right back to say goodbye. It's almost the end of the show. You're on The Woods on Joy 94.9.
Previously on The Real Pancakes of Melbourne, Stefan was getting a little hot under the collar.
Don't you challenge me. I was born for this delicious little number.
That short stack, Stefan, please. She wouldn't know a thing about good taste.
Things were getting saucy between Charles and Sandy.
There were lashes and lashes of whipped cream, fresh strawberries. I was Alice in Wonderland.
Be seen at Joy Sponsor the Pancake Parlour, High Point, Doncaster and Malvern East. They never close.
Lovely.
Whether you're packing up your home or relocating your office, Alexander Removals and Storage make light work of any job, around Melbourne or interstate. The personalised service you get from Alexander's is second to none, and all work is carried out with total care and attention. So before you move anywhere, call Joy sponsor Alexander's Removals and Storage on 9579 1864 or see their ad under Furniture Removals and Storage in the Yellow Pages. Alexander's Removals and Storage, around Melbourne or interstate.
You are on The Woods on Joy 94.9. The Big Bear Mark, joined by Robbie Cub Reporter, Jess James, and Dr. Noel Maloney.
Yeah. And it's time to say goodbye.
And it is time
it's
to say goodbye.
So
but
quick.
Before we do that, we do need to tell people where the play is on. Well, it's at the La Mamba Theatre, obviously. La Mamba Theatre is at 349 Drummond Street, Carlton. And there are. It's actually going only till Sunday, so you need to get in quick, people.
A handful of tickets still available for Saturday night and Sunday's show, I believe.
Yes.
And, some still for tomorrow.
Great.
And still some for, so tomorrow and Saturday, it's on at 7:30. And on Sunday, it's 4 p.m.
That's right.
I've got one very quick question, Noel.
Yep,
just in the last couple of minutes, you've been in a devoted, loving relationship for 17 years.
Oh, where we go.
15 years.
Yeah. Just quickly, like, what do you think your career has had effect on that relationship, if at all?
Because
I'd imagine there's lots of ups and downs.
There are. I guess I kind of think the other way around, you know, what effect that relationship has had on my career. I mean, I've felt really supported and really blessed to have Robert in my life.
Yeah.
But then I guess thinking around it the other way, you know, any career creates strains on a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Just with really ordinary stuff like time, you know, there was a period there, you know, when I was doing my PhD, where I kind of carried it around in my head, and sometimes there was very little room for anything else. And you know, bless Robert, he understood that and backed off most of the time. Every so often it was, I just told you that, you weren't listening.
So do you think it's like, do you think the relationships help the career's help the relationships?
I think it's mutual. I think it does go like that. Yeah, yeah. I think it works both ways.
Well, it's
yeah.
impressive.
Well, thank you very much, Noel, for coming in tonight, and I hope the play is a great success for you. Hopefully we'll be getting down there to see it.
I will be.
At La Mamba, yes.
I'm definitely going to be there.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.